on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield, live from CBN Potts. This is the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show, brought to you by Coors Light. Grab an ice-cold Coors Light and a designated driver this game day. And remember that 21 means 21. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Powered by Ford Trucks. Built Ford Tough. Also brought to you by Bank of Colorado. There's only one. By UC Health. And by First Bank. Now live, the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Here is your host, Brian Roth.
All right, welcome everybody. We're live from CB and Potts in Fort Collins, and you can believe it, the final installment of the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Great to have everybody with us across the network here tonight, and an outstanding crowd here with us at CB and Potts. And indeed, we've had a great crowd all season long, and set to talk some Rams football for the next hour, so pull up a chair and enjoy the evening. Great food here at Potts, maybe a frosty adult beverage, or if you're listening on the radio, just act as if you're here. Will yourself here. This was your last chance, the last chance to get here tonight, and it's a great crowd. Brian Roth with you. Happy to be joined by the head football coach at Colorado State, Mike Bobo. And, coach, you've come bearing gifts here.
Yeah, I didn't expect this many people tonight. I was bringing some hats for my regulars, but I do appreciate all of the Colorado State fans, but especially the people that come to the radio show every week. And just wanted to show our appreciation, the support. We had a great crowd Saturday, and it's our last game for seniors, and hope to have another great crowd this weekend.
Yep, Colorado State with Senior Day coming up against San Jose State. A 1:30 kickoff on Saturday afternoon as the Rams take on the Spartans. And we're going to talk a lot about those seniors tonight. 23 of them, outstanding. And for the seniors that have been here 4 years, they have won 30 games and helped continue to change the culture at Colorado State. A chance for win number 31 coming up on Saturday. And for those guys, hopefully, win number 32 coming up in a bowl game, because Colorado State will be going bowling for a fifth consecutive year. Well, Coach, I know it was a tough one last Saturday night. Crazy games. I mean, I know you've been in this coaching business a long time, and you're bound to run into them, aren't you? Crazy, crazy football games.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever been in one like that. Lost some heartbreakers along the way. Really, every loss is really a heartbreaker. It's gut-wrenching. You know, you put so much into each week preparing and getting your guys ready to play, and you go lay it out on the field, and you know, when you don't come away with a victory, it's gut-wrenching. You know, the highs is never as high as the lows in sports, and that was probably one of the ultimate lows. I thought the week before was in Wyoming, but this last week it hurt. But it's a great lesson that you've got to play for 60 minutes. You got to play for 60 minutes. The game's never over. You continue to play, and I thought we did play hard. To get the momentum back after we lost it and go up 14 was an unbelievable feat by our guys. But then we didn't finish that last 3 minutes of the ball game, and you got to give those guys credit. As hard as it hurts to say that, you got to give them credit. Yeah. And we got to fix some things. We got to learn how to finish. We got to learn how to make plays in crucial situations, and that's my job, and I plan on getting that done.
Yeah, you and I talked about that on Monday. You have a big lead, then all of a sudden started the third quarter, all the momentum's away, and you know, you guys were able to put out that fire and completely take over that football game once again. What's going on the sideline? That 3 minutes into that third quarter, it's 35-31. In a situation like that, I know you're locked in coaching, but are you trying to go up and down the sideline, trying to get that group back in?
Well,
because whatever you did, it worked.
I just remember making the comment, we don't like it easy. We like it the hard way. So let's man up and let's go back out there and answer. And I was kind of saying, hey, we don't want to make it easy. We want to make it hard. Then we got to answer. And, you know, the guys kind of, you know, got back in the rhythm and were able to finish and had some big drives and some key stops and a key turnover during that next quarter and a half. The disappointing thing was, before the half, you give up a score before the half, and then two quick scores in the third quarter in a span of 5 minutes at the end of the first half and the start of the second half, you give up 21 points in a span of 5 minutes. And you know, really brought the game back to even, but we were able to overcome that and get back ahead, and then what happened the last 3 minutes happened.
Yeah, that was a tough way to go down. The game would go into overtime, and Boise State would win it 59-52 in overtime. You know, Boise State gets a touchdown, make it a touchdown game, 52-45. Kick the onside kick, Mike, and I don't care what kind of onside kick team you had out there defensively. I don't think there was any way to defend that thing. I mean, that's a perfect onside kick by Boise State. And
yeah, most of the time, I'd say 90% of the time, it's going to come down to the kick, unless you just do something that's not very smart on the onside team. And that was a perfect kick. I've never seen a hop that high. And basically, you know, I listened to Coach Harsin after the game, and he said they copied ours from last year, used the same two-kicker format, put it on the tee the same. Hayden Hunt kicked some good onside kicks last year to recover against them, but nothing like that kid. That hop was 15 to 20 yep. feet over Michael's head.
Yep, it looked like a pass down the field almost in that contest.
But the bottom line is, that was a great execution, but yep. we still can get
a chance to stop.
We're going to get a stop. And then we get the ball back. We got a chance to get a field goal to win the game. So, you know, things are going to happen in games that are deflating, and you got to go to the next play. You got to line up. We got to get a stop. Defensively, they score. We get the ball back. We got to be able to answer and try to get in field goal range. We can't let moments affect us through the next play or the next series, which we did in that game.
Yeah, we really got to see your offense kind of take flight once again. Remember against Air Force, you only had the football for 18 minutes against Wyoming, of course, the snowstorm. But you guys were so good offensively on Saturday night. And let's not forget, that's a Boise State team that was coming in defensive rankings, one or two in the Mountain West Conference up and down the board.
That's a top 20 defense in the country. And I think they'd given up 14 points was the most they'd given up in conference play. I think everybody may had scored 14. Nobody had scored more than 14. And we wanted to attack going into that game. I wanted to attack. I told our kids that we were going to attack. I told them we were going to play up tempo. And they responded. I think six first possession and tens were passes. Mm-hmm. And Nick completed every one of them. So, you know, we're going up tempo. We're going to be aggressive. Then we got to execute to get things going. And he was able to do that. And, you know, third year here, I think that was our best game offensively. You know, some will point to New Mexico last year and San Diego State. But San Diego State, we had a punt return for a touchdown. We had a turnover to set us up. This game offensively, I thought the way we played – running the ball and throwing the ball balance against what I consider a very good defensive football team was probably the best game we played. But saying that, we still had an opportunity at the end of each half to move the ball and get some points that could have been the difference in the game.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about how the week of practice has gone. I mean, that's a hard one to get over, but how have the kids responded? How have the coaches responded?
I said after the game, you're not going to get over it. It should stick with you for the rest of your life. I know it's going to stick with me that opportunity was lost. And I don't want to, you know, and we're talking about it, but, you know, I don't want anybody to say, hey, and I said it, that we played a pretty good game. And, hey, you played great game. You should have won. You had the opportunity. You outplayed them. I'm still upset about mm-hmm. that game. And I'm upset that we didn't finish. And I want to take that anger out on this team we're playing this Saturday.
Right, right. You had mentioned that the lows sometimes are lower than the highs are higher as a coach. So that old adage holds true, doesn't it, where you can go back and describe in detail some of the losses over the years, but sometimes some of the big wins kind of fade away.
All my quarterbacks at Georgia, and I'm not in the quarterback room as much as I was at Georgia, but the quarterbacks at Georgia, they're always, coach, you always bring up the bad plays that happened. You always remember the negative, why we didn't convert this third down or why we didn't score in red zone. Why, you know, so it's just coach's mentality. You always think about things that didn't work and why they didn't work, you know, whether it was a play call or an execution. And so hopefully you can prevent making that mistake again. And I think you can learn more off of your mistakes, you know, when you're coaching a player, or as you're a coach, sometimes you learn from your mistakes than sometimes the stuff that you do successful.
Yeah, Rashad Body played well for you, had to come in. He's a redshirt freshman that I know you guys were high on this season. You gave him an opportunity, and I thought he excelled. Obviously had the fumble, which everybody sees. What do you tell a young player like that? And, again, you mentioned learn from your mistakes. It's something he'll be able to learn and grow from.
Well, if he comes back, and I expect him to, with the mindset that I want to get better as a football player. I don't want to never have this feeling again that I dropped the ball the last time we had the ball with a chance to score and tie it up, and that motivates him. It will only make him stronger, and he'll learn that ball security is not just words that we preach. It's something that we practice and we live by, that it needs to be high and tight, and in crucial situations, guys are going to go for the ball. And young kid making a young mistake, and sometimes fumbles happen where the helmet hits just right on the ball, or it's a tackle that it's like – and that was great ball security. It was just one of those things. It just struck the ball at the exact spot where he could fumble. But, he was loose with the ball. And you can't be loose with the ball in that situation. And, he's been extra tight this week. You hate that you learn a lesson like that, that is one of the plays that could be a difference in the game. Now, that wasn't a difference in the game. Like I said, after the game, there were right. there were 50 plays in that game that somebody could have made on our team, or a coach, myself, could make. They had a chance to affect the game. That just happened to be the last play of the game, and it's the one that's the freshest on our mind.
You had mentioned earlier in the week, Rashad Body's a kid. We had a good fall camp, got some playing time earlier in the season, then had a stretch of five games where he didn't get a carry. You said he kept his head up and stayed with it through that adversity. That probably gives you hope that he's going to keep his head up and stay through it.
He's going to respond. He's practiced well this week. He's had a good attitude. Obviously dejected after the game, obviously dejected this week because, you want a guy that feels like I just cost us the game. You want a guy that feels that we didn't win the game because I didn't do this or I didn't handle my responsibility. You don't want a guy that makes excuses and points fingers or blames somebody else. You want a guy that's going to accept responsibility. And, that's what I told our guys Monday. I said everybody in this room's got responsibility for that game. The one with the most responsibility is me, the head coach. And, I plan on atoning for that. We didn't reach where we wanted to reach as a senior class this year. But you seniors, we want to send them out the right way. But you guys that are sitting behind the seniors in this team meeting room, realize something. We're going to get there. I promise you that. And that's the way I feel.
Well, the good news about last Saturday night, it was only game 11. You guys have game number 12 coming up Saturday afternoon and another opportunity to go out there and play in front of the home crowd. San Jose State coming up Saturday afternoon. We'll shift our attention to the Spartans and Senior Day when we come back here from CBN Potts. Thanks for joining us on a Wednesday night on the Coors Light. Mike Bobo Coaches Show from the... Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Great to have everybody with us tonight. Ryan Roth back with the head football coach at Colorado State. Program tonight brought to you by UC Health, with more clinical trials and advanced treatments than any other health system in the region, the game changers in medicine. All right, UC Health. All right, let's take a look at some of the injuries. And I know you guys got a little beat up the other night. How are we doing going into the regular season finale?
We're a little bit beat up. It's game 12 for us, so you've got some injuries offensively. B.C. Johnson, he will be cleared. He practiced today and did not have a red jersey on. He still got to go through some protocol with our doctors, but that's the decision that they'll make. I feel good about him.
Now, what was B.C.? Was that a head injury? Was it the knee again? It was hard to tell.
It was a head injury.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, yeah.
Wasn't the knee. Was a head injury.
By the way, I thought he held on to that football.
Yeah, did he?
I thought.
They called it incomplete.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they did. All right.
Daylon Dawkins has practiced since Monday. He's good. He was basically cleared on Sunday. Who else offensively do we have? That's Dalton Fackle is a little bit banged up. He's in a red jersey all week. Defensively, Jacob Byes, Richard King are questionable right now. Two defensive linemen. Jamal Hicks is still out. Our safety, Toby McBride, we know is out. I'm trying to think who else is out, but that right there, Colton Foster is another D lineman, is out. He's having surgery on Friday on his meniscus.
OK. Okay.
Tyler Bjorklund, offensive lineman who started at left guard, he's out. We got a lot of guys out.
Right, right.
We, you know, we'll be okay, though.
I know it is week 12, though, and you're going to have those type. Hey, you hope to avoid it as much as you can, but week 12, I mean, it's a long season, and guys are out there playing hard. It's bound to happen.
It's football. You know, you hate it that injuries happen, but they happen, and, you know, that's why you practice. That's why you rep more than one group, and guys have got to step up and be ready for their opportunity and prepare for it this week so they can be ready on Saturday.
I know you mentioned on Monday it's senior day coming up on Saturday, but you're really relying on that senior group to lead you into this regular season finale, aren't
you?
Yeah,
a lot of times we're always talking about let's win one for the seniors, and my message to our seniors especially was, you know, it's your job to show the leadership and show this young team, you know, how you get ready for your last game, how you come back after really, you know, two heartbreaking losses the last 2 weeks. How do you respond? You know, your legacy, you know, is not just left in wins and losses. Your legacy is left where you lead this team and the culture that you lead the team with and knowing how to respond. And I think we've done a great job of that this week. We still have two more days to get ready for the game. And then we got to go out and we got to do it on the field.
Not all the 23 seniors were here when you got here. Obviously, you brought some in through the junior college ranks and through transfers. But the guys that have been here for 4 or 5 years, I know it's always difficult when there is a coaching change. You didn't recruit those guys. But speak to some of the, I guess, difficulties in the transition when you come in as a new coach and you need those guys to buy in right away.
Well, you know, transition and change is always hard. And I did not sit in the majority of these seniors' house. There's a good number of them that we did recruit. But there are some, you know, the Jake Bennett's, the Daylon Dawkins, that we didn't. And that's really not that I recruited them or not. It's really getting to know who they are and what makes them tick and who's important to them, you know, and what's important to them outside of football. You know, is it what family member? You know, is it a grandmother? Is it a grandfather? Is it a sister? You know, is it a relationship they have with a coach? And some of those things you miss out because I didn't recruit him.
Right.
And I think the only way that you get buy-in is that I'm genuine with the guys. I am who I am every day. Now, I've got a lot of rough edges, but I try to be consistent in who I am and how I treat guys, and that, you know, I'm always going to try to treat you like I would want to be treated. I'm always going to try to be demanding, and I make that up front that it's going to be demanding. I'm going to hold you accountable, but at the same time, there's going to be mutual respect, and we're all in it together. And from day one, I've told them, I said, you know, they chose Colorado State. I chose Colorado State. We both chose Colorado State. So we're both Rams. We're all family. And that's kind of, you know, I think that's how you get to buy in. Does it happen overnight? No, it never happens overnight. You know, players are going to say, yes, sir, because, one, I'm the coach. They're the player. They want to play. All right. But to build that trust, you know, and I learned this from being around my dad, a longtime high school coach, and then, you know, Mark Rick, a guy I think the world of, always said, if you want to get the best out of that player, you got to know his heart. And I think the only way you know his heart is if he knows who I am, outside of being just Coach Bobo with the whistle and yelling and screaming. But he knows me, sees me as a husband, sees me as a father, sees me at my house with my, you know, kids, outside of being coach. And I'm going to be coach, and I'm going to get on your you-know-what. But at the same time, they got to be able to know who I am. And I think that's how you build a team. And I think that's why we've stayed together. You know, it hadn't been perfect these 3 years, and nothing's ever perfect. Do I wish it was? We were perfect and had won these games, and we were where we wanted to be right now. We're not, but I think we're going to stay together because of the relationships that are built within the team. And there's a team. Team is always, everybody's played sports. You always hear about trust and family and playing for each other. And that's true, but I think it's got to start at the top, and it's got to start with your coaches and your families. And if that's solid there, then it will carry over down in the locker room.
You know, we've talked a lot about the seniors here this season. You know, at the end of the day, before I get to the next one, you know, at the end of the day, yes, winning football games is important to everybody. But these are still young men that you and your coaching staff are having a major impact on their life.
Yeah, they're going on. We can have a major impact on their life and win too. But
yes, you
but
can.
But part of growing,
yeah,
is learning how to get back up after you're knocked down. And you know, we have a devotion or motivation on a staff meeting every day, and it goes around the table. And you know, Joe Cox had it this week, and he talked about after the game and going home, and he was like, "What a catastrophic event that just went on. It's just unbelievable what happened." He was just distraught, and then he started kind of thinking about it. He goes, "No, it's really not a catastrophe, you know, with everything that's going on in the world. It hurts because we're so invested in what we do and the team that we love, all these people out here, we're so invested in it, it hurts. But it's not catastrophic, all right? It's something we get to wake up in the morning and try to fix it." And his message was, "Hey, we're here. We're sitting here today, so let's go to work and work on trying to make myself a better coach, make this football team a better football team, make us a better university by how we go to work every day."
All right, I want to talk about some of the seniors, but first we're going to take a timeout, and we'll continue along here tonight from CBN Pod. Stay with us. The Coors Light, Mike Bobo, Coaches Show on the Colorado State Sports Network from here. All right, midway through the show tonight, we bring you back inside CBN Pod. We're in Fort Collins tonight for the Coors Light, Mike Bobo, Coaches Show, our final Coaches Show of the year, and it is one of our biggest crowds of the year. There's not a seat to be had here in CBN Potts tonight, and we thank everybody for coming out here this evening. Coach's Show tonight brought to you by the Foothills. It's the spot to go for your post-game. Enjoy more than a dozen restaurants and eateries, and you can use the newly opened pedestrian walkway under College Avenue. It's a stress-free max trip to the stadium. Visit shopfoothills.com for more details. Senior Day coming up against San Jose State, a 1:30 kickoff. We'll go on air with our tailgate show at 11:30, and it's going to be nice weather, I think, Mike. I don't want to jinx it. 50 degrees. It looks like it's going to be sunny. It's going to be a fast track out there for you and your ball club. And I want to talk a little about the seniors. 23 of them are going to be playing their final game, and one of them that won't, Josh Lovingood, who was not healthy enough to participate this year. But we've talked a lot about Nick Stevens and Michael Gallup and Daylon Dawkins, who, by the way, Daylon Dawkins, 3 yards away from 3,000 career yards and just 122 yards, sitting in fifth right now. Now, he passed Lawrence McCutcheon, who is a darn good football player, not only at Colorado State and
Rams.
In the NFL, right, the L.A. Rams. He passed Lawrence to go into fifth place last week. He's 17 yards away from Kevin McDougal, who we all know is a great running back in the 90s. And that'll put him in fourth, and he's 122 yards away from Ron Harris. That would put him into third all-time leading rusher at Colorado
State.
Who's
number one?
Number one is Steve Bartello.
Bartello.
Yeah.
I got to meet him this summer.
Did you really?
Yeah. I heard nothing. I heard he was an unbelievable running back, tough. Sounds a lot like Daylon Dawkins.
Yeah, yep.
You know, listening to Coach talk about him as a player. But Daylon is, I've said since day one, you know, he's one of my favorite players, just how he goes about his business. He's the ultimate competitor. He's got an ultimate work ethic. And he's pound for pound the toughest player I've ever coached. And what we're seeing from this guy, this during this conference stretch is amazing. He is impressive, and everybody sees Gallup and sees the catches, but what Daylon Dawkins has been doing and how he's been running has been unbelievable. I don't think there's a back playing any better than him in the conference.
No, he has been really something special, especially in conference games. I go back to last Saturday night. There was a play. Hole opened up, and it was almost like, I mean, one of those, almost like bowl in the ring. The hole opens up. Linebacker, Daylon Dawkins, yeah. And it was a full-on collision in the hole, and the Boise State kid got up, and I don't know if you remember the play, and started walking off to your sideline, and he got his bell rung pretty good, but the linebacker, who probably had about, oh, I don't know, what, 40 pounds on Daylon Dawkins, went straight backwards, and Daylon's done that to
this was a backup to Vander Esch. Because Vander Esch had to go out a couple plays before because of a tackle with Dawkins. So Dawkins hit two out in like three plays.
The smallest guy in the field.
Yeah, he's the toughest now. He runs with great pad. He has no fear.
Yeah.
He has no fear. We're going to miss Dalen Dawkins.
Yep, no question about that. But I want to talk about some of the seniors that we haven't necessarily talked about and maybe don't get a lot of the limelight. And I want to start with Jake Bennett. And for you to run the offensive scheme that you guys are doing at the level you're doing it and with the changes that are being called at the line of scrimmage, you have to have a center that is really smart and really good, don't you?
Yeah, I can't say it. A lot gets said about Gallup and Dawkins and Nick Stevens running the show, but to do what we do offensively, the center has got to be tied together with the quarterback and the play caller. And Jake understands our offense as well as any center that I've had. He's not the most athletic guy, but he is tough. He's a team player, and he wants to be successful and put the offense on his shoulders. So he's constantly studying the film. He's constantly looking for little things that are going to give him an advantage. And, you know, our first year, we started to really click at the end of the year, and I think a lot had to do when he started to kind of understand what we were doing offensively. He missed all of fall camp because he was coming off of surgery, and I think from about halfway through year one, he's gradually gotten better and better, and now we can make adjustments during the game, really in between plays, and he can understand what we're doing. But, you know, the press conference 3 years ago, first player I saw was Jake Bennett. You know, he was standing there to meet the new coach, and that said a lot to me that, you know, here's a guy that's a starter on the team. He got injured, but he was a starter at the first year, and he showed up to make sure he saw the coach and shake his hand and say, I'm ready to go to work. And that meant a lot to me, and that's what Jake Bennett's done every day. He's came ready to go to work.
Yeah, and then you talk about another senior offensive lineman that in the time that I get to talk to him, he's one of the most impressive kids on the team, and Zach Goldich. And, well, you talk about a mature kid. Zach is certainly that.
Well, Zach has a huge heart. Mm-hmm. Zach, when you talk about, you know, being on this earth to serve people, that's Zach Goldich. It's never about Zach Goldich. It's about his fellow teammate, his fellow student, his fellow neighbor. It's what can I do for you? And that's Zach Goldich's mindset. He's one of those guys that you love to be around because he cares about everybody greatly. You can go ask anybody on our team, any position, either side of the ball, and they would tell you if you needed something, you ask Zach Goldich, he'd be there for you.
Yeah, but a couple more seniors that I know don't always get the recognition that some of the star offensive players do, but a guy who I believe is having a really nice senior season and had a great junior season is Evan Colorado, who plays that buck position for you.
He's your typical blue-collar Colorado State Ram. What they've won traditionally here with are guys like Evan Colorado that are tough, that are going to grind, that are going to give ultimate effort, and that's Evan Colorado. And he's a guy that, you know, we had playing linebacker at the second level when we first got here. We were in the 4-3 scheme. We went back to the 3-4. We asked him to put on 30 pounds. He did. He got up to 250 pounds, had shoulder surgery this off season, worked his tail to get ready, has been a bell cow for us on defense, and has shown great leadership to a young player who I think is going to be one of the best players to ever play here if he stays healthy, is Emmanuel Jones. Mm. And Emmanuel Jones is Evan Colorado's backup, and the way Evan has led this guy on how to meet, how to prepare, how to practice, has brought this guy along where he's one of our better players. We actually played Evan at Sam this past weekend, and 33 Emmanuel Jones at Buck, just to get both of them on the field at the same time.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that about Emmanuel Jones. The one thing that I noticed with Emmanuel Jones, and again, Mike mentioned, where's 33? He came in as an 18-year-old kid, but he was 6'3", 6'4", 245. I mean, he didn't look like an 18-year-old kid.
He was a raw kid out of high school, but he had speed, and he had size, and he had showed a little toughness on tape. And, you know, he was kind of from a part in Georgia where, you know, he's a school that doesn't get as heavily recruited as some schools around it. And, you know, one of those relationship things, somebody called and said, you need to check this guy out. And I really couldn't believe somebody in the ACC didn't grab this guy. And he's got a chance to be. He's been playing with a broken wrist for 4 weeks now. And just got toughness. He's got power. He's got speed. And he's a good player, but guys like Evan Colorado have led this guy in the right direction.
Yeah, but one final senior, and again, another kid that I've gotten to know well throughout the course of the years, and just is exactly what you want from your student athletes that are representing not only the football program, but the university and the community is safety Jake Schlager, who has been a stalwart for many, many years here at Colorado State.
Another blue-collar kid. Daddy's a high school coach, a farmer, just tough and gritty. And Jake, somebody told me this weekend he is going to be playing in his 55th game, 55 games at Colorado State. So that just says a lot about him. Yeah. And this is a guy that's battled injuries and is always out there, always going to give his, the 100% that you got to give. And it's another guy that is about the team. It's not about Jake. And just proud of him. He's expanded his role from being a special team player when I first got here to being an every down player. Done a nice job of working with Jordan Fogle and working with Jamal Hicks, who was a young guy, that kind of came in and ended up taking some of his playing time. But Jake wasn't about that. He was about the team, and he's still about the team, and just, going to be sad to see those guys that you're mentioning go.
Yep, no question. Jake from McCook, Nebraska. You mentioned his dad, and I know you can't comment it, but his younger brother is going to be coming to play football at Colorado State coming up this year as well. In fact, a couple of brothers, Toby McBride's brother, also coming to Colorado State as well. All right, we'll take a timeout. More to come here tonight at the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show right here on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show back in Fort Collins and CBN Pods. Been a great host all season long. We'll be back here coming up next season as well for another installment talking Colorado State Ram football. And again, a big thank you to everybody that's come out throughout the course of the year. It certainly makes it a lively atmosphere, and it's always one of my favorite nights of the year. I always look forward to the game days, Mike. I look forward to the Wednesday nights with you, and you've been a great co-host with me all season long, so appreciate that.
Same appreciation. You've done a great job. It's been fun.
Mike never likes looking back, though. I know. Yeah. It's like he gets to Wednesday, and you and your coaching staff are so laser-focused on the next opponent that I know sometimes it kills you. Even after the wins, too. I mean, we're not just talking losses where you're just like, man, that thing was about 5 years ago, and it was about 5 days ago.
I know. See, this one seems like yesterday.
But I know. And
the bad part was it the game – the game finished so late, I think everybody kind of went home and passed out, and they woke up and thought it was a dream. That's the problem.
No. The funny thing.
Nightmare.
You mentioned that, and I had two or three Ram fans say the exact same thing, saying, hey, Brian, I got home last night. This morning, I had to look at my phone just to double check to make sure that was it. We're going to talk about San Jose State in a minute, but I was talking about the fact that you guys obviously are bringing in recruits and you're trying to sign your next recruiting class. A change in rules in college football, there is now an early signing period in college football, so it's not just the first Wednesday in February. Now the early signing period starts December 20th. They can sign up until December 22nd. Your thoughts on that? How does that change?
To be honest, I think it's going to make a big impact, but I think nobody really knows what exactly is about to happen. I think the February signing day is going to be a lot more anticlimactic. My guess is more kids are going to sign December 20th, but I really don't know. And in this coaching landscape, there's going to be a lot of changes all across the country, and that's going to affect recruiting and trickle down where everybody goes. So, it's going to be interesting after, the last game of the year and if there's coaching changes, how fast athletic directors move, and with this early signing period, I think it's about to be a huge mess, really, what's about to happen. Our philosophy here at Colorado State, that's kids that we're going to sign on December 20th, are kids that we feel, it's never 100%, but as close as possible to 100%, that they're going to be qualifiers and be able to be accepted by CSU and get in school. Because we're not even going to have their first semester of their senior year transcript. So we're basing whether they're going to qualify off of their first 3 years of high school. And a lot of kids, sometimes you need to see that first semester of their senior year, before, you can basically sign them. If they got a chance, to get admitted or they qualify. And some kids, maybe only took the standardized test once. So we're communicating with all our guys, and you know, the guys that we feel good about, I think will ink. If they don't want to ink with us on signing day, then on the 20th, then that's going to tell me that they're holding out for something else, and we'll probably move on. You know, but got places like Stanford who they've got to see their first semester grades before they can let them in, get through admissions at Stanford.
Right.
I don't know if they'll be able to sign anybody on December 20th. I don't know how schools like that are going to work it out. So it's, you know, and then we're going to be looking on the wire. Let's say X school is had this kid committed, and then on December 20th he doesn't sign with them. And we're going to be, well, why didn't they, did they not send you one? Did, you know, what, are they trying to hold off? So it's going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah, there's variables in there that you don't necessarily think about as a college football fan. And it kind of is showing your cards on both sides, isn't it? I mean, Colorado State, you're showing your cards and an interest in the kid.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people say, oh, this would be great for Colorado State. All the big schools are going to, you know, fill up, and then you get to see what's out there, you know, but everybody might try to sign everybody, and nobody's left. So I don't know what's – I really don't know what's going to happen. We've got a plan. We've got a good number of kids that we recruited right now, and, you know, we're still recruiting. We're still bringing guys in on visits, and, you know, I talk to coaches all over the country, and everybody's kind of – this is how I see it's going, but everybody's kind of a little bit different. So I think everybody's going to try to figure this thing out.
Do you guys have a number in mind as to how many guys you think you may sign on December 20th?
Yeah, I do, but I'm not going to say.
No, I'm not asking you to say it. I'm just curious.
That could change next week. That could change if, you know, X school that is considered one of the top 10 schools in the country offers one of our commits. You know, things like that happen all the time. It's always going to happen at a place like Colorado State. You know, it happened to us last year, you know, the night before signing day. I mean, the 3 days before signing day, we lost four kids to the SEC last year. Anything. It's not this place. It's not these people. It's not this, you know, chance to go to school. Sometimes it's just the label of being Power Five that costs you sometimes.
Yep.
But having guys like Michael Gallup and Daylon Dawkins and have the success that they're having, and they're going to go on and do things that these kids want to do, and that's playing in the National Football League, that's going to help us.
Yep. And again, Michael Gallup is a semifinalist for the Biletnikoff Award on the 10 best wide receivers in the nation. You can go online. You can vote. I think you can vote as many times as you want. I've already voted like 10 or 12 times for Gallup. So, listen, get on there. Vote for Michael Gallup and see if we can't get a Biletnikoff Award winner at Colorado State. He's certainly a guy that I feel like should be in the conversation, not only numbers-wise, Mike, but when you look at him on film, on tape, which a lot of these media members are gonna do, he passes the eye test.
Yeah, he's got unbelievable numbers, but sometimes people look at numbers and think, oh, that's part of a system. Our system, though, is not a spread offense system. It's a pro style. We're two back. This guy is having these numbers in a pro-style system.
Yep.
I think that's what's the most impressive thing out there. You know, a lot of times teams have these catches in these spread offenses where they're throwing 60 times a game.
Right.
This is in a pro-style offense, and he's having this kind of impact on the game.
Like those former Houston teams back in the day with, like, David Klingler and Andre Ware.
Everybody threw for 7,000 yards there.
That's right. All right, we'll take a timeout. Hey. You guys have a game Saturday, right?
We do.
We should probably talk about the Spartans of San Jose State. We'll do that. One final timeout. We'll be back here in Fort Collins to CBN Potts on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield. All right, final segment tonight. We bring you back inside CBN Potts and the Cords Live Mike Bobo Coaches Show. The Colorado State Rams will try to close out the regular season with a victory coming up on Saturday afternoon. The Spartans of San Jose State are going to be in town to take on the Rams again. 1:30 will be the kickoff of that contest from Sunny Lubick Field at the CSU on-campus stadium. Be great to see a big crowd out there to honor those 23 seniors that are going to be playing their final home game in Fort Collins, and 23 seniors that got to see the completion of that stadium all the way through and got to call that their home. All right, so San Jose State's a team that struggled this year. First-year head coach in Brent Brennan. He was a former assistant at San Jose State. Lastly, came from Oregon State. But, you know, a 1-10 team coming in here, Do you have to talk to your team about that, saying, hey, listen, you cannot look at that record. You got to go out and execute and play the way that we're prepared.
Yeah, you always talk about, you know, we got to worry about ourselves and focus on ourselves. And a lot's going to be, you know, said about a team that you're playing that's 1-10, and a lot's going to be talked about what you didn't do last week against Boise State. You know, we can't let Boise State beat us twice. You know, we've got to regroup. We got to get our mindset, and that comes to the leadership that I was talking about from those seniors. And, you know, it's a new coach. It's a new coaching staff, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. There's change, and they're working their tails off to have that one moment that's going to jumpstart their program. And, you know, it can't be Colorado State. That's what I told our guys. And what I told them tonight, we ought to be upset still after what happened last week, and we ought to be ready to play. I know I am. I'm ready to get back out there and get some of this taste out of my mouth. It never will be gone, but I want to play, and I want to go play again with this team. I believe this 2017 team is a special group, and there's a lot of guys that I love on that team, and I want to go out there and have another opportunity to go to battle with them, and I'm excited about it.
Right. Quickly, one Twitter question before we leave you tonight, just from Joe Barron. After San Jose State, you guys are going to a bowl. Do you know which bowl you think possibly you may go to? Any inklings?
I do not. I tried to figure that out year one, but you can't nowadays because it's not based on slots where you finish in the conference. It's based on after the championship week where the ESPN and where bowls want to send you. You know, everything's based off of TV, and, you know, I am excited about going to a bowl. We got a chance to win 8 games. I think Coach Ehlers told us today he had the devotion today. In 120-some years of football, there's only been 16 teams that have won 8 games, mm-hmm. and we've got a chance to be one of them.
Yep, and, in fact, you look at the last 15 years, how many 8-win seasons in the last 15 years? Just 2.
Just
you
2.
Have a chance to become the third team in the last 15 years. Well, Mike, looking forward to watching your ball club play 2 more times. I really am. I know I speak for all Ram fans. And thank you so much for your hospitality all season long. Appreciate it. And go send the seniors out on top.
That's right.
Saturday.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you all, y'all.
All right. Head coach Mike Bobo, Brian Roth. So long. Thanks for joining us from CBN Potts.